Hello and welcome to another episode of the Cultivate Church Planting Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Kelly. And before we get started on this episode, I want to tell you about a couple of events that are coming up that I think you'll really enjoy. First of all, we're going to be having a Cultivate gathering. If you have questions, if you want more information, if you want to get connected, I will be there, Kyle will be there, Terry will be there. We're going to be at Forest Ridge Calvary Chapel, and that's in Austin, Texas. It's Saturday, May 18th. You can register and find out more information at forestridgecalvary.com. Secondly, would you like to be equipped and inspired? Does learning and collaborating amongst fellow Christians sound encouraging and refreshing? Then you should come to the CGN Calvary Chapel International Conference. It's June 23rd to the 26th at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. You can register online at conference.calvarychapel.com. This year's theme is Hope, Suffering, and Glory, Studies in 1 Peter. We're going to have 9 speakers addressing topics taken from 1 Peter, June 23rd to 26th. Register at conference.calvarychapel.com. All right, let's get into this week's episode. God bless. Welcome to the Cultivate Church Planting Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Kelly, and we've got a great episode today. I'm here with two amazing stand-up fellows. Two friends of mine, Terry Michaels and Kyle Curry. Terry is the pastor in Austin, Texas. It used to be called Calvary Chapel Austin. What's it called now? The
Forest Ridge Calvary Chapel.
Forest Ridge Calvary Chapel. And we'll talk about the name change and maybe some of the things that went into that in a minute. But then we also have Kyle Curry, who's been on the show before. And Kyle, welcome back.
Thanks, man. It's good to be here.
Yep. And Kyle is also in the midst of an exciting church plant himself. He was on the episode where we talked about new church planters and planting in a coffee shop. But you're not there anymore.
Nope, we're not there.
He graduated out of the coffee shop.
Yeah.
You still get the coffee from the place or no?
I do every day, but the church sadly does not.
What kind of coffee are you brewing? Just for our listeners,
I'm ashamed to say.
You had to say it. We're learning here.
Kirkland Signature.
What's wrong with that? Were you ashamed of Kirkland? You ashamed of Costco?
Costco? No, I love Costco, but their coffee is Starbucks coffee, so it's not good.
Okay. Yeah, I remember we talked about this last time. I think I lost like a third of our listeners after you said Starbucks was not good coffee.
Edit that out.
What about Frappuccino, Kyle?
I don't drink that, but maybe it's good.
Okay. Yep. All right. Well, let's get right into it. We're going to be talking about church planting. What else? And I just want to let everybody know that Kyle, myself, and Terry are going to be together live in Austin, Texas to do a Cultivate training. What do we call it? A seminar? Yeah, mini conference, along with some other exciting stuff. Terry, why don't you run us through the what we're going to be doing there and what you have planned?
Yeah, and you know, even conference might be too big of a word. I'm calling it more of a gathering. Okay. There's so many conferences going on, and people think of lecture upon lecture. And I wanted to keep this real casual to where the talks would be kind of brief, 15, 20 minutes, and then followed by a Q&A session, a panel discussion, and make it real interactive and put a lot of emphasis on fellowship and creating an environment where people feel comfortable to ask questions.
Great. And I would encourage anybody who's in the area to attend that. It's going to be free of charge. You can get more information at cultivatechurchplanting.com. That's our website. And you'll see there's a link at the top that talks about our gatherings. And so we'll be there in Austin. What are the dates again, Terry? I should know this.
I should know it too.
May 18th. I know it.
Whoa, Kyle knows it. May 18th. So if you're available, go on the website and click that link. You can also go on Terry's church website, I believe. Is that correct, Terry, to get
that
information?
Is correct. Yeah, you could even register on there as well.
Perfect.
ForestRidgeCalvary.com.
ForestRidgeCalvary.com. And go on there and listen to a few sermons, online sermons of Pastor Terry while you're at it. Some good stuff.
Why not?
Okay, so Kyle, let's go to you first. What's going on these days? What's tell us about church planting in the, is it second year now or third?
Third year. We're going into the third year. Yeah. So okay. We planted in January of 21. So yeah. No, 22. January of 22. So it's I don't know. Honestly, I think it's been two. January was 2 years, so we're a little over 2 years.
Yeah. Okay.
Going into the third year, we started in a coffee shop, and that was great. And we went to two services, which was necessary, but that wasn't great because the facility wasn't large. It wasn't like we had a couple hundred people and then we split 200 into 100 and 100. I mean, we had like 70 adults. We had to split it between 35 and 35. And so, as you know, a room with 35 people feels a lot. It feels empty, right? Mm-hmm. And so, out of necessity, we couldn't get more people in, so we went to two services, but it didn't accomplish the mission. And so, we realized quickly it was time to find a place we can get back to one service until we can grow to kind of critical mass to be able to split in two services.
Terry, I'll come back in a second, Kyle, but that brings up a good question.
That's good.
No, you've got a lot more to say because I know that God's doing some really cool stuff there in Murfreesboro. But Terry, we just went to two services too. And I know there's a lot of pastors out there or potential church planters that are asking the question, like, when do you do two services? I'm assuming, Terry, that you've done multiple services before, or what's your situation?
Yeah, we're doing two services as well. And, you know, I think it really depends on the size of the room and the amount of people. Obviously, mm-hmm. the size of the room is going to dictate that. And a lot of times it's the children's ministry that dictates that. It's mm-hmm. not that the auditorium or the sanctuary is full. It's that the kids' ministry is full. And that's what initially drove us to two services way back when, where we just didn't have enough space for the kids. So there's a lot of factors that can play into that: size of the room, amount of people, amount of kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. And that's one of the reasons why we did it too, was the children's ministry. But then we did this thing where, and looking back, maybe it would have been better to do it different, but we just did children's ministry at one service. We had nursery at both, because nursery was really that's the kind of growth. That's the growth point at our church with the young families and stuff. So we did children's ministry at the second service. So now all the families came to the second service, and we didn't really solve the problem there. So we should have done children's ministry at both of them, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that can be a challenge too. And I know a lot of churches fall in that same category where you just don't have the infrastructure for children's ministry in both services. But at least you can offer an alternative to those people who are serving in the children's ministry that they're
exactly.
not,
yeah.
you know, they're not being out of fellowship, you know, four mm-hmm. times a week because they're ministering.
So Terry, how long have you been a pastor, and how did you end up in Austin?
Well, I started as a youth pastor back in San Bernardino, California at the Calvary Chapel there. And, we started that church back in 1981, and we're there for 15 years, and they got the call to the mission field. And then coming off the mission field from Siegen, Germany, we planted a Calvary Chapel in San Marcos, Texas, and that was back in 1997. And so we were there 12 years. The church blossomed from, you know, just meeting in our living room to meeting in a hotel you know, facility, and then other rentals to having our own facility. And then in 2009, I was asked to come up to Calvary Austin, take over a church. But it's all been an awesome journey, and so been at it a good while.
Very cool. What was it like meeting in the, I've always wondered about meeting in a hotel, because I felt like so two things, like in church planting, you got guys meeting in schools. We've done that. You have people meeting in movie theaters. There's a guy, Pastor Billy here in Florida, meets in a movie theater. And then you got people meeting in hotel, like whether it's a ballroom or a convention center room or whatever. But my thing is, I feel weird about meeting in the movie theater because I don't know why. I don't know why I should feel weird about it.
It smells like popcorn.
Yes.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing. And I didn't ask Billy if they make popcorn on Sunday, but I think they might. It's not a bad idea. But I don't know. It's just my thing. But what's it? I mean, meeting in the hotel, what was that like for church planners that may want to look at that option?
We were able to grow there, but it was slow growth. I mean, there are a lot of people that do have hangups with it. I remember one fellow calling and asking where we meet. And I told him, we're at the Howard Johnson's in the, in the banqueting room. He goes, there's no way I'm going to take my wife to a hotel for church. So, but then there are other people who are very excited about a new work. One of the benefits about meeting in the hotel, at least with us, is they provided free coffee and pastry. So,
oh, wow.
That was always right. Good. But we did grow there, but it was rather slow growth.
That's incentive, right, Kyle, to have a continental breakfast when you come to church. Most people can just do Starbucks, but
yeah, we actually do pastries every Sunday. We have different people volunteer to bake them, and we have some really talented and gifted bakers in the church, and so it's awesome. I always look forward to when Brooke, shout out to Brooke, when she makes her blueberry muffin like cookie things. Oh, they're so good.
That's good. Yeah, whatever it takes, right? Get them in the door.
Whatever it takes.
But back to you, Kyle. Your church is doing really great, and you are a product of, first of all, the Lord and what He's done in your life and your vision and everything. But you went through the Cultivate Church Planting Program, and a real success story of that. But why don't you talk a little bit about that? I mean, we've done this a little bit on another episode, but just refresh our memory. What was it like going through Cultivate, and where are you right now?
Yeah, so I was the actual very first person to actually go through the program. I was the guinea pig.
You're the first? So
the very first.
Wow. That's what I've been
told. Yeah, that's what I've been told. So
that's what we tell everyone.
Yeah. Dang it. Never mind.
You're special.
I've been called that my whole life. I couldn't figure it out why. No, but so I was, I went through it, four years ago now, right? We first moved out here to Tennessee, and it was good. I think the best thing about it was just the coaching and the mentorship that came out of it. You know, because I was on staff since 2008 to 2020, so like 12 years. Like, so it wasn't new to like pastoral ministry. It wasn't new to the church world. And so I didn't need as much as the nut and bolts of how to run a small group as I did just coaching through everyday life things and the nearness of a coach. And so that was the best thing, my favorite thing I took away from Cultivate. And now I get to be a part of that and help other guys go through that as well. And I don't speak from all this crazy experience, but what I do have is just, I know what it's like to go through with somebody by my side. And that was Jeff Geip, and it still is Jeff Geip. He was the one that kind of mentored me through that on this side over here in Tennessee. And it was awesome. So I highly recommend, encourage, and you should get plugged in to Cultivate if you're not.
Yeah, and it really is, unlike a lot of other church planting programs, it really is a work together with the local church, a very relationship-based thing. So it's not a huge, complicated series of steps you have to go through, but it's basically, let's connect people up with not only their local church with mentors, but also coaches that have been through the process, who know what they're doing, can kind of go along with you each step of the way, however the Lord is leading you to plant. We have a goal, a desire rather, to plant 1,000 churches in 10 years, Calvary Chapels. And so excited about that. And we're seeing some good progress. And part of the progress is due to, and I just want to give you two big props right now, is for both Terry and Kyle are part of our leadership team. So if you do go on that Cultivate Church Planting website, you'll be able to see the leadership team there right on the homepage. Right on the homepage. You guys made it. You really, really arrived. Made it to what? I don't know, but
okay, front page.
Yeah, you mean the front page news. No, but they and a few others, including myself, are really spearheading what we believe is this next generation of Calvary Chapel church plants. So I know you, Pastor Terry, you've been a part of Calvary Chapel for quite a long time, since, if I can remember, is it 81 that you started out?
In 1980.
Yep. Yeah. So we all three of us and the others who are on that leadership team with Cultivate love Calvary Chapel, love the verse by verse teaching. Love the simplicity of it and just being led by the Spirit. So yeah, these guys have been able to join that team, that leadership team, and help us really shift into the next gear. I feel like for the future of what Cultivate is doing and what Calvary Chapel Church Planting is doing. So Terry, what do you think is going to happen? Are we going to see another revival? Are we going to plant more churches? What's going on?
Well, I think so. I mean, I know the Lord is already blessing this initiative of Cultivate. You know, I'm so grateful for it because I didn't have it back when I church planted in 1997. You know, it was kind of like goodbye and good luck, you know, and I wasn't in touch with really anybody, and I didn't have anybody mentoring me. I didn't know the first thing about church planting. Just, I had the call from the Lord. I showed up in a city where I didn't know a soul, and, I would have really loved to have somebody, you know, speaking into my life at that time and encouraging me. And we just didn't have that sort of thing back. Yeah. If there was that kind of thing, I'd never heard of it. But yeah, when I found out about Cultivate, it's like this is something that our movement needs, is to get just a little more organized in church planting and have the mentoring and discipleship and encouragement and everything else that goes with it, the training.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's that the, you know, it's the simplicity of it too. It works really well with the Calvary Chapel. For those of you who are not familiar with Calvary Chapel, it was basically started in the 60s and Jesus Revolution and verse by verse teaching, plus the power of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and really kind of took off from there organically, I would say, as guys went out like Terry and others to plant churches, not really knowing how or what to do, but feeling that call, being led by the Spirit, and God's faithful. He's always faithful. But now to be able to kind of put a little bit of guide rails on, I would say, a little bit of, getting the process of seeing, asking the questions, are you called to church plant? Is this right for you? That sort of stuff can really be helpful. And look, Kyle's here. Look at Kyle, first guy to do it.
Look at me.
So Kyle, that down in, or up in Tennessee, I guess I should say, cause I'm down in Florida, but you guys were in a coffee shop. Last time we talked to you, you were meeting. It was really a cool opportunity where you were able to go in, you knew the coffee shop owners, you were able to meet there on Sundays, have a church service, like you said, about room for about 70, which isn't a lot if you're trying to, if people are coming and you're growing.
Yeah.
But you've since moved to a new location. Why don't you tell us about that? Because it's a pretty interesting story, and I'm going to ask you some questions, and then I'm going to hit Terry up about the answers to the questions. If you and I don't know, we'll always be able to go to Terry and get those answers.
Okay, good. Well, I'll give you the short and conditioned version of it because it is a long story, but my daughter was started attending a youth group here at a local Baptist church. We didn't have a youth group at our church. You know, we just started. And so she started attending. I got to know the youth pastor. He was a great guy, or is a great guy. And he ended up leaving the church. My daughter comes home one Wednesday night and says, "Hey, Pastor Jeff, his last Wednesday is next week." So I called him. He and I become friends. I said, "Hey, man, what's going on?" You know, and he said, just time to go, you know, but I've been around ministry long enough to know that there's always more to the story, you know. So I just left it alone. And several months later, he calls me out of the blue and he's like, "Hey, you know, the church that I was at, they no longer have a senior pastor. Can I give them your number?" You know, they're kind of
like for you to take over or something. You have to be the senior pastor.
I mean, that was kind of what his thoughts were, you know? And so I said, "Sure, you can give them a number." So I ended up sitting down meeting with, their leadership team. Now the church had fractured. It kind of had a church split. Some things went down. I won't get into here, but, so they were fractured, you know, and they were kind of grasping at straws what to do. They were left with little pastoral, no pastoral leadership. And so I met with them and I said, "Hey, well, I can offer to fill the pulpit for you." You know,
this was on top of your other responsibilities at your church plant, your fledgling church plant.
So my church plant is going. We're at two services, and so I was teaching my church in the morning, and then jetting over there at 11 o'clock and teaching for them and doing that. And then we just developed a relationship, and so they have a student building, a youth building on the back of their property. That's like 6,000 square feet or 7,000 square feet. It's big. It's got a cafe space, like a coffee shop in there. And so we went in there, they offered us, hey, just use this, you know, free of charge. And so, we started meeting in there, we painted in there and, upgraded it, you know, put some decor, just made it look like less of a youth space and more of a church. And, we've been meeting there ever since. And so that was in the end of January of this year.
Nice. And that's a good, what reason why I brought this up is because what is it, I mean, in your experience, and it sounds like it's been a good experience so far, so good, but yeah. working together with other churches that maybe are not, I hate to say like doing so well, or they're not, they're not as vibrant or as vital as they used to be. A lot of the older churches in many cities are dwindling in church attendance. I mean, that's just across the board really due to, you know, a lot of reasons, but what would you say, like, is that something that is a good idea to reach out to some of these churches, and how would you go about doing that? I mean, you kind of just walked into it, but.
Yeah, I definitely, I mean, the caveat is always let the Lord tells you, but I definitely wouldn't just pick up a phone call or pick up a phone and call some church that's got 10 cars in the parking lot and say, hey, doesn't look like you're doing so good, you know, but through the context of relationships, you can have those conversations, you know.
Terry, in your experience, that's probably wise advice, Kyle. Don't just say, hey, it doesn't look like you're doing so great. I noticed you only have to do that.
Yeah, don't call over there and say, who's screwing up over there?
What would you say to that, Terry, though? Because the thing in my mind, I think, you know, you've got a space that can seat a couple hundred people, and we've got not the people to fill it. We've got a couple hundred people, but no space. It seems like a collaborative thing would be helpful. But what are your thoughts on that, Terry?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like there was a relationship already there with Kyle and the other fellow, and there was already coffee over there too. So, it was very conducive and very organic for that to come together. But as far as like hitting someone up that's just, you know, you don't know, that's kind of just, you know, in town and that kind of thing, I just would look that up in prayer and stuff. But, you know, I think a lot of people were probably confronted with that during the pandemic, where a lot of churches did drop in attendance. I know a large church in Austin, I think they sat like about 600, and they dwindled down to, you know, from what I understand, almost just a couple of dozen and stuff. So
wow.
I think that was a time where pastors needed to be supporting each other. Instead, we were kind of throwing mud at each other. You know?
Yeah, and that's the sad thing.
The unvaxxed and the masked against the unmasked. And we could have done a better job of supporting each other. And
were you team mask or team unmask, guys? No, I'm just kidding.
I was pro-choice during that.
Oh man, I gotta edit that though, that's for sure. I'm just kidding. I think you nailed it, Terry. It's the competition mindset, whereas we're really working toward the same goal, the same kingdom. And it's hard. I just gotta put myself in the other guy's shoes. You know, it's probably hard for them, or the other board or committee shoes, whoever's in charge of the church. It's probably hard to see a church that was once, you know, especially like the older denominational churches, like we have several here in our town. Like it was once thriving, it was once healthy, families were there, and now the families have all gone, it's just dwindling. It's gotta be hard to look at that and say, maybe I could do something for somebody else type situation, but I don't know. Yeah.
You know, I think it's really good for pastors to get involved in a pastor's community. Mm-hmm. And I know the city I'm in, they have one where the pastors from, you know, the different churches come together. And, you know, when you're in that place where people are leaving or your church isn't growing or whatever it is, you have other pastors there that can identify with you and pray with you and encourage you.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you part of a pastor's group at all, Terry, in Austin?
Yeah, I was in Pflugerville, and so we've moved out of town. So now I no longer qualify. I'm hoping to find one in our area where we're at now. We're now in the city of Round Rock, which is a little north of Austin, and so that's why we dropped the Austin name, because we kind of migrated a little further from Austin than we were.
Mm-hmm. Great, Kyle. What about you? You connect with any pastors in your area at all? Besides the church that you're collaborating with.
Yeah, so I moved here and didn't know, anybody. I was, they say parachuting in. And so I reached out to several churches, just to sit down and grab lunch with their pastor. And I was kind of met with a little bit of, at arm's distance from a lot. But there was a few that, I got a chance to meet with, and there's, three guys that I semi-regularly get together once a month, once every couple of months, we'll text each other. And then another guy reached out to me in the next town over, and he's got a gathering with all kinds of pastors. So I went one time, and I just can't go because it's on Tuesdays, and I do things with my kids' school on Tuesdays, so it just doesn't work out anymore. But that's been cool because I went to one time and it was really encouraging. And they've got guys from, there's a Catholic priest that goes there.
And is he in his full get up?
He is. Yeah. Wow. He's a Presbyterian. There is almost every denomination, which is actually really cool. And the whole idea is we just ate breakfast and we talked and we just hung out and we prayed together. There was no book study. There was
no agenda or anything.
No agenda.
Yeah.
And it was actually really cool. So, yeah.
Yeah.
We deal with that with the Calvary family here, where we get together once a month. Those of us are in the immediate, within an hour's, drive.
Yeah.
And so there's about eight or nine of us that get together once a month, and it's really encouraging. And some of us have little churches and some of us have big churches.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so encouraging just to have that kind of a group, because you're able to talk and pray with guys that are in your same shoes and kind of deal with a lot of the same issues and stuff to know you're not alone. And I think that's one of the things that, especially within Calvary Chapel, we have done a good job in the past, and it's a little bit fragmented right now, but I really look forward to getting more camaraderie, unity around the things that we're really passionate about. Spreading the word of God, teaching the word of God, planning churches, and getting those fellowship groups, because it's just, you sit down, you talk to someone online, that's fine, but you sit down with someone, you have a coffee or a meal. It really is a nice place to fellowship over those things that are important to us as pastors and church planters. So
Brian, as an outsider, coming into Bradenton where you're at, did you experience some of the same things that I experienced, or what was your experience like?
Yes. I knew Pastor Carl Dixon. He's been on the show before, and he's in Sarasota, which is about, his church is about 40 minutes drive south of us. And so it was really helpful to have him there. And, we actually attended the church there for a while before we got started on Sundays. And then also Pilgrim and Jenny were in Bradenton, East Bradenton from us. And they've since moved, but we had them there as well. So I knew a few people, which was helpful. And it was helpful because they kind of knew the lay of the land. Like, now you're probably pretty familiar with Murfreesboro.
Yeah.
And back in the beginning, we didn't know. We knew a few, and we knew enough. But I just encourage anyone who's listening, if you're getting into church planting, pastoral ministry, to not only find a team that can work together with you, but also connect with those other like-minded churches in the area. And even not so like-minded, it's nice to get together and talk about like big picture kingdom issues, as long as there's no compromise on the fundamentals of the faith type situations. Mm-hmm. So you agree, Kyle?
I concur. Yes,
you concur. I agree. I wanted you to wear your robes and stuff at some point, because you do wear robes, don't you, when you teach?
For all that. No. Although we had baptisms on Sunday, so we did some baptisms on this past Sunday, and we did a combined service with. So it was Easter this past Sunday, and we did a combined service with the church here, the Baptist church, and I preached. And so they actually had robes that you could get baptized in. And so nice. I said, no, we'll just do dark t-shirts and we'll be good without the robes. Uh-huh. Well, one person had, you know, spontaneously decided to get baptized after the service. And so
did they have a baptismal in the church?
They did, but it's like way in the back. Like, it's like this show. And so I brought a baptismal up to the front of the stage and we did it right there in the front of the stage. But this girl got baptized in the robe. So that's my first.
Did you put the robe on?
I did not. I was on the outside of the tub baptizing, but she had the robe on. So
it was good. Oh, yeah. Have you ever been, Terry, have you ever been to Israel, to the Jordan River, where they do the baptisms there?
Yeah, I actually had the privilege of baptizing a few people there.
Yeah, yeah. So they do the robes there too, Kyle. So I've been there. Right. Terry's been there. So we've done it. We wore the robes. We wore them.
I didn't want to admit to this, but I also was baptized in the Jordan in a white robe.
What?
Clark Van Wyck. I don't know if you're familiar with Clark.
Yeah,
Van
Wyck. Of course. Yep.
He baptized me in the Jordan River.
Oh my goodness! You were holding Shout that in, man. You were holding that in. You didn't want to brag.
No, I didn't want to flex.
You know, Chuck Smith has a little plaque there that says, you know, thanks for your contribution or whatever.
Yeah. So, I gotta get me a plaque up there.
You're gonna get your plaque there. You gotta plant more churches if you want that. There's like 1,500 churches out of Calvary Chapel now that he started.
Yeah. So well. Yeah, I'm a little behind, but I got some time.
Yeah, you do. You do, Kyle.
Thousands of churches in 10 years.
Yeah, you personally do that.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
We'll get going here in a second, but I wanted to talk about something before we leave that you brought up at the beginning or before we started recording, Kyle, and that was the importance of discipleship and training when it comes to these young guys that want to get out there and church plant. So you want to kind of introduce that topic, and I would love to hear what Terry has to say just with his experience on, you know, how do we create these, how do we help these guys and girls many times and these church planting teams be prepared for the ministry ahead.
Sure. Yeah. I think kind of the trap that church planters, myself included, can fall into is that, well, I've got to do everything by myself. And so they spend all of their time organizing everything. And to a certain extent, when you're just starting out, it is just you and your wife and your kids. But as soon as you start amassing some people, then it's quickly identifying those that you can build with and those that you can build on and start training them to take over wholesale areas of ministry. Craig Rochelle said, I'll never forget it. He said, if someone can do something to 60% of your capacity, then give it to them.
Wow. Yeah.
And I'm like, 60%? That seems crazy. He said, but they're never going to get to the 100 unless you give it to them, you mm-hmm. know? And so learning the hard way of not doing that, holding on to too much, you know?
And their 100 might be like way better than our 100 too. That's the thing that's the thing I learned I think I'm pretty good at a lot of things, but that's just it. I'm pretty decent at a lot of things, but there's people in the church or people that want to help plant a church that are going to have the expertise and the ability that will far surpass ours. You know, it's like, would you rather have something done mediocre 100% or really great 60%?
Well, and the challenge is when they start doing things a little bit differently than you would, not to jump in and change it.
Yeah.
Because then you're essentially saying, hey, do it exactly how
That's
I
hard.
Want you to do it.
That's
and
hard.
You're not creating a leader. You're creating a follower at that point.
Do you do that, Kyle? Do you bite your tongue?
I do. And my wife is like, she's like, I'm like, just let them go. It's not the end of the world. If they're going to ruin something, then of course. But if it's not going to ruin it, I'll just let them.
You know what I do that with? I do that with the sound guy. I do that with, I have to bite my tongue. Cause I'm like, man, cause I don't know what it is. Maybe it's OCD or something. I'm like, that needs to be louder or quieter or this turned up or that turned down, but I just leave it. I leave it. Glory to God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Terry, what about you?
My wife, Christy, and I, we talk about that a lot, how we really have to die to things, you know,
because
you are entrusting people with the personality and skills and gifts that God has given them. And it's always different than what you would do or how you would do it. It might even be a little messier or sloppier than how you would do it, you know, and, you know, you just have to kind of die to it, you know, and say, you know, okay, I wouldn't do it that way, but you know, God's using them and God's growing them,
yeah,
and you want to give them wings to fly and not clip their wings and micromanage.
Yeah, that's it. That's micromanagement is what it really comes down to, and that's, you're not gonna, your ministry's not gonna grow, your church isn't gonna grow. So I need some advice. Let me give you a scenario, and I'll get your advice, Terry and Kyle. We're going through this right now at our church because, as I mentioned, children's ministry has been amazing. There's a gal named Susan who, her husband is one of the elders here, and they've been here since day one. And she does a phenomenal job at children's ministry. She's an educator, and so she's very good at, she does the curriculum and everything. But now that the church is growing, it's difficult for her to scale with management of volunteers and all this different technology and stuff like that. So anyway, long story short, she said, is there someone that could take over to help scale the children's ministry to that next step? And so we've got a guy, one of the pastors actually here. There's three of us, me and Cody and Josiah, but Cody's going to oversee it and take it over. And so My advice would be, how do we make that transition to where she doesn't feel like all of her efforts, because she's very particular but very good at what she's done, but it's one of those things where it might be done a little bit different and not as fine-tuned, because, you know, when you're growing, you have to kind of, you have to have children's ministry at this first service too. That's one of the things. So, but what would you say, what advice would you give me as a lead pastor in navigating this scenario that I just described?
Yeah, and I know that it can be a little touchy with someone who's handing it off and wanting to be honored by keeping things going with what she set in motion. But at the same time, the new people coming, they need to have that freedom to, you know, be led of the Spirit, you know, and maybe take things in a different direction. I know when I hand off the church one day, I don't expect them to do things exactly the way I do it or teach exactly how I teach. But I know that God will use whoever that person is. I mean, I think a good example, and I know it's not children's ministry, but I think the point is the same. Like when David Guzik took over the church for Ricky Ryan, I mean, you can think of two different people.
I know, for sure.
Super Pentecostal, you know.
That's in Santa Barbara, right? Santa Calvary Chapel.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. And then you have, you know, someone who's not as, you know, how would I describe it? He was just like more on the Pentecostal side, And then David Guzik is probably more on the scholarly side. And
oh, for sure.
I was very curious as to how that transition would work, you know, because they're, but, you know, obviously David didn't follow Ricky's, you know, model, and the church has done quite well from what I understand.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I think just encouraging that gal that, you know, things may go in a different way, in a different direction, but thank you so much for all that you've invested in the kids and the door's still open for you to do that.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. The door's still open. Like it's, we still want this, Susan, obviously a great part of our church in leadership and everything, but still having her involved, but also giving the freedom to that next person to be able to navigate the new territory.
One of the advantages you have is that she's realizes that she's hit her ceiling.
Yeah,
she's hit her lid.
Exactly. Yeah, she's great. So. Yeah.
If she didn't know, then it could be weird with Cody coming in, but she knows. And so, you know, Cody's willing to step in. And so it's her kind of dying to self a little bit, and which sounds like she's already doing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, totally.
Realizing that she can't go any further. And so,
although it hasn't happened yet. So but that's the thing. It's like when the guy's turning up the piano and it's overpowering the people singing, it's like, I want to go back there and tell him to turn it down. But
I gotta tell
and then
you,
I do.
You're a sound guy not to listen.
I'm going to give him this. I'm going to give him this episode. I'm like, here, this is a good episode. I want you to listen to this. We have some good content. So no, well, it's multiple sound guys. That's the deal. So,
and I'll say this, I think you need to, as senior pastors, I'm very relational just by nature, you know? And so you earn you put money in the bank relationally with people as you spend time with them and you love them well, so that you can cash out and you can draw when you need to.
When it's
so
when
you
tougher.
Go to him and say, hey, look, you need to turn it down. He doesn't take it as a personal attack because he knows you, he knows your heart.
Yeah.
But if you only time you talk to him, it's like, hey, turn that down.
Yeah.
What message is that?
And I don't want to be a micromanager either. That's the thing. I don't want to be the guy that's always, you know, involved in everything. Although to some extent, I am the lead pastor of the church, so there's involvement, but it's just that thing we talked about, giving them that freedom to do as the Lord's leading.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Final words, guys. Terry, let's hear from you. By the way, I want to remember to say we're going to be meeting on, Kyle, what's the date again?
May 18th.
May 18th.
8 a.m. to 3 p.m.
8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Lunch is included or snacks or what are we doing?
Yeah, well, we're going to include breakfast presentation.
Lobster,
I love it. Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're still talking about lunch. So,
yeah.
A lot of good places to eat around there, too. But
yeah, that's right.
We may provide that. But it's a free event.
Free event. Yeah. I'll be there. Kyle will be there. Terry will be there. We'll not only be talking about church planting, but we'll also have some sharing time and Q&As and stuff like that. So, really. Really valuable time to get together if you can make it. But Terry, give us some last words, last thoughts that you have.
Yeah, well, church planting is probably one of the most fulfilling things that you can do. It's also one of the most challenging things you can do. And so if you're a church planter, just want to encourage you to hang in there and take advantage of things like Cultivate that were there to come alongside of you, to help you, to see that you have the proper mentorship and training. And we just want to be alongside of you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Kyle, what do you got to say?
That's it. Thank you. We've covered it.
We did it.
Yeah. Cultivate is it's worth
it's
your time.
Great.
It's great.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being on the show, guys. I'm sure we'll have you back for more. I've got questions about a lot of different things. And Terry, it was great having you on the show and just your expertise and what you're doing. God bless you. Kyle, God bless you. We'll see you next month in Texas.
Y'all take care. God bless.
All right. God bless, guys.
Bye.